Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right now, right here on your voice of Barbados. You're listening to us on VOB929.com on the World Wide Web, 92.9 FM, on the radio dial, or however you get your radio via the internet or the apps. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane. We go until 2 p.m. as usual. As we open today's brass stats, as some of you may know, there's some issues I'm trying to work through, along with the whole Adopt Our Families program, not working directly with the care packages, but indirectly with that, and continue to work with some counseling and suicidal outreach and so on. And though you know me, those of you who know me, we know I like to sit here and discuss the issues, discuss the real facts and so on. But with issues, you know, dealing with minors, dealing with legal issues, investigations, these are things that we are not permitted to do here. But most importantly, the show is really about you and not us. The moderator is not about me. Although I've said on many occasions, and I will continue to say, that a lot of the times we can take the micro in our life and expand it to the macro. We can take the me and apply it to the national. And if I had to do that, the first thing I would start with is one of the things I recognize here in Barbados and across the world, that we are facing a storm. I mean, in some places the world facing winter storms, but right across the world we're facing a biological storm called COVID-19. And then within each and every one of our lives, some of us are facing storms within a storm. And it gives me an opportunity to reach out using this megaphone to tell people, you know, turn to whatever is your strength. Those of you who are spiritual and religious, you know where to find your strength. Those of you who are not, I don't know where you find your strength, but you will know where to find your strength. For me, as I sit back and I reflect, It seems almost to me like the devil has had some corn kernels, or he had too much sugar, because the devil is definitely hyperactive. But for me, as many of you have said to me and you know, remind me that every storm runs out of rain, and this too shall pass. The second thing that I look to is this idea of a lot of cliches that we use, but the cliches actually having a lot of meaning and a lot of depth when you really, really need them. We are in this together, be a brother's keeper. One of the things that is very important now, more so than ever, again, another cliche, but powerful one at that, and that is that looking out for one another and supporting one another in these deep, dark, trying times are very, very, it is very, 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 very important. And I'd like you to this opportunity to thank those of you who've been reaching out and sending your support to me and wherever you've been sending your support. The support means a lot, and it is extremely important. Because, you know, today you may have, tomorrow do you have? And that's in a moral support way. That's in a tangible way. And the third thing is that one that I've been recognizing lately, doing a lot of introspection and so on, there are lots of people out there that want to be heard. A lot of people out there that want to be listened to. A lot of people that want to feel involved and feel a part of. There are a lot of people out there feeling like the forgotten man and the forgotten woman. And as we look at the various things, particularly implemented by governments, people want to have their voices heard, their advice taken in. And this is something we all call the big governance project, how the governed are listened to and responded to by the governing. And that is something that I'm also picking up in my time of reflection. Now, some questions have been sent to me recently, and I want to just put them out before we open the lines and start to hear from the important people, you, the callers, you out there in radio land. And that is, in terms of the hardware stores and computer stores, people been calling me, you know, when I have an emergency and I need to get hardware supplies, where do I turn? And this came up in the first lockdown. I can't remember how it was addressed, but also with the the computer supplies and ink. Someone called me as this, I printing a contract I need to renew. I ran out of ink. The person standing in my house, what do I do? You say I work from home, but in order to work from home, there are these necessities. On the other side, you would recognize that the whole idea of the lockdown really is to keep people at home, keep people isolated so that we can isolate the virus and bring it under control. So it's really a battle of two fronts. The other thing that was reached out yesterday, the fishermen reached out and they say, what about those who were already on the sea when you say come back in and weren't able to come back in and come back in now and find themselves in problems in terms of breaching certain things? Now, as I told the person, it's best to reach out to fisheries because they don't have that answer at hand. But these are things that they want public discourse on. So I use the opportunity in my opening to put these things out there so that Barbadians, if they feel to, can input their ideas and their advice on these various topics. So that is it for me, and it is time now for you at 6 minutes after 10. I want to open the lines and let you know the number to call 434-1790, the number to WhatsApp. I have to get WhatsApp up now. 266-4862, and that's your way to communicate with us here on Down to Brass Tacks, the Wednesday edition. Good morning and welcome. You're on
Good
the air.
morning, guys. Good morning, and also welcome you once again to the VOB calling program, Mr. Lane.
Yes, please. Thank you.
A couple of things here. The first thing has to do with what I heard yesterday, and it has to do with concerning the death of that young child. Now, on the CBC 7 o'clock news, I know that their dashboard was not updated. So what you saw last night was the amount of confirmed deaths in Barbados were 25, due to the fact that it's not updated. What was amazing about this, the day that we were having our press conference in Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, they were also holding those press conference. Yet at the same time, the Minister of the Health in Trinidad and Tobago mentioned that there was a young child died in Barbados. The same time our press conference was going on, and that Jamaica and Barbados are the two English-speaking countries that have lost a young child. Now, I would have thought that the person that read the news on CBC last night, I don't know if they had the information, but at least make it known to the public and allow the public to know that the dashboard is not updated, and therefore you will not see that young child death go to make it 26. Not a word was mentioned. Further than that, I did not hear the president of the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners came out and said not one word. Not Dr. Corey Ford, Dr. Anton Best, Dr. Kim, Dr. Williams, the president of the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, not even Joanne Waterman. So it appears to me that we have to be kept in the dark till these things are open, and then they can't hide it no longer. I was looking here at some time ago. All these associations who are supposed to represent the workers and the interests of the workers, and such associations such as the AUPW, the Barbados Workers Union, the Barbados Secondary Teachers Union, the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, and Barbados Association of Registered Nurses. I call these for a particular reason. It appears to me that these associations have now become a cluster and have formed a nuclei of a political organization. And I would like to challenge Dr. Corey Ford anytime on radio or on TV about what I think about the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners. The other point, it has to do with the interview last night with the girl from CBC and Dr. Kevin Brinish. It appears to me that he was allowed a free floor last night. There was no mention made when she asked him about when the Barbados, they were part of the office and what he saw, if he was not scared. Yes, he was scared, he said. Yes, he was scared. But what I would have asked him, since the Barbados Labour Party came into office, how much money we owed in foreign debt? how much money we have earned, and take out the earnings from the debt, how much money remains? These are important questions. It was a lack of experience. And I hope next time, my advice to CBC, is next time you are having an interview with that, get somebody of experience. Even if you have to ask people like Dr. Christina Hines, or you can even ask Mr. Glenroy Murray to do that. That you have the experienced people who would not ask some silly questions. Tom and Jerry, sure. So next time,
I wanna come in here and answer some questions if I may.
You
can
ask me questions, really, if we can answer really, them.
Right, no problem. Provided I mean, those questions, really, providing you can answer, exactly. Because for me, these are things I want to know. I want to get down to brass tacks. In terms right. of the numbers and the updating, do you think that it is a case of a cover-up? Just blatantly, you can say so. Or do you think that it may be a case of, you know, you have to do the investigations or talks? Because I heard some things bandying around. Was it this? Was it that? Is it really this? Mm. What do you really think it is? I want you to call it out for what you think it is.
But what I think it is that the dashboard gets it there every 2 or 3 days. So therefore, these things will occur. I would not say a cover up, but I would say that when this information is available to the Minister of Health, automatically he should let the public know. I should not be known in Trinidad and Tobago a young child in Barbados died. Why are you telling the good citizens of Barbados and the good people of Barbados? You mean I got to wait for a press conference is being called today at 11 o'clock. I'm not too sure about that. But I would like to ask you, what you talk about today? You talk about the young child there? When there are problems at the hospital? No, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know that there still remains a problem with sometimes one nurse working night. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that?
I've heard things about it. I've heard the Barbados Nurses Association speak to this in the past. And I think that they're going to speak to it in the present and the future. The other thing I wanted to ask you, though, you mentioned about a free flow. And this reminds me even of interviews I do. And you feel as do it, you damn if you don't. Where sometimes you are asking questions to guests. And people say, you know, these people cutting across these people. I don't want to hear these people. I want to hear who they bring to interview. So as a listener, my question to you is, do you want to hear, you know, the cut and thrust and the back and forth? Or do you want to hear a case where somebody's brought in with the knowledge and you let them really, you know, hit on what their expertise is?
No, your program is not a good program. It's not a bad program. But what I found with your program, I mentioned this to Dr. Christine Hayes, is that Judy, it starts at 11 o'clock on Sunday and finishes around 1:15. You can bring at least 3 people. Because the more people you bring, the less time that the people, callers, will have to call. And therefore, you've got to be scrambling, really wraps up, so that sort of thing. But you could limit to 3 people. 3 people is enough.
No, I don't know our program. I can get there. I was questioning the fact that you say that the person went on the ear and they were given a free flow to give their information.
I would prefer, like, it was an interview then. It was not a calling program. It was an interview then.
Right, I know.
Right. But I'm saying that you would have need somebody of experience to go into more details. That way, like the fine prints of everything. You don't come and ask me if I come to power and when the Barbados Labour Party come to power, what we find if I was scared. That's a question you should not ask. What I want you to know, so far, what have we heard in foreign exchange? What have you all the money we owe? Mm-hmm. I'll tell something now. A lot of people who support the Barbados Labour Party, over 60 people, and this is going to be a fact. Some of us will be around, and some of us will be in a home. Yes, for example, the place at Harrison is 20 years, 4 years moratorium. 20, and a person in the 60s will make it 80. It means that most probably they will start to turn senile or in a home, so they won't got a clue what is going on. My thing is, who is going to repay this lot of debt? That's one mission state. Your great grandchildren, your auntie grandchildren, who? Somebody has to pay back. But continue boring and not pay back. What do you think eventually is going to happen?
All right, one last thing, and that leads into what you were talking about just now. With these interviews, one of the things I realized is that no interviewer can ever ask all the questions to please all the people. And that is why the forum then like Brass Stats comes in important to me, where you have a case where people can you can open up the line. So I believe in both. I believe in the interview, so people can get out.
Right.
And then the kind of calling program where the average Joe, the public, the persons, the taxpayers can ask questions directly. Now, one thing I would like to disagree with you slightly, and hopefully we can get some agreement together on this, is that I don't agree that you only use experienced people to ask questions, because then how do the younger persons get that experience? How do they get to the stage where the stars are today? So I think that they must be given an opportunity to ask questions from time to time.
I get where you're coming from, but let me put this here. Before you were called to ask, no, you were invited, I guess, and you want to invite a doctor to talk about prostate cancer and the surgical procedures. Which will you choose? Will you choose a young surgeon, or will you choose a surgeon who was in practice for 40 years to come to bring on the program? That's another question I'll ask you.
No, I get the point. I get the point you're coming from. But at least we got a little agreement on that. And I want to thank you for kicking us off the first call for this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, reflecting on the last call, for me, I remember I started, I talked about these storms and the storms within the storm. And in this time, I want us to not see these deaths as statistics, but understand that these are people's children, wives, sisters, daughters, sons that we are losing. And I want to offer my condolences to the family and friends of those who would have passed through COVID and those who would have passed other ways. As I said, there's a lot of pain in our society right now. There's a lot of fear, and hence there's a lot of anger that comes out of fear and pain. And really, it's for us together to harness the power of the humanity that we have within us to get to the other side. For those wondering why engage in conversations like the last, for me, the main part, and you would realize the questions that I stuck on really had to do with media and media literacy. Now, I did a minor in political science, and I have an intrigue. I remember going right through university and not understanding the Electoral College in the United States. Didn't really have much interest in it anyway. But funny enough, over the last 4 years with the Donald Trump presidency and all that's happened after, it really brought an education to me, not only about U.S. politics, because the U.S. dominates in terms of culturally and so on a lot of parts of the world, and I try not to let it dominate parts in my brain. But one of the things that I've seen there, and it could see almost like a crystal ball, is that if you do not understand things like media literacy and so on, how people don't know how to read a story and understand, how people, especially on social media, how people pick up things. When we have to understand that media literacy or the lack thereof can actually destroy a society. It can make us destroy each other. And therefore, it's important when callers or persons have concerns about how media practitioners, the fourth estate, operate, that we should ask questions, we should understand, and that we should pay attention as a society what media literacy or lack thereof can cause. Some of you would have heard about the QAnon, the conspiracies, and so on. How people can really go off the deep end simply because they don't understand media and media literacy. And that's the reason why I really engage and love to engage in calls like that one. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
A blessed good morning to you, Corey. How do you do?
I am fighting the good fight. And what about you, sir?
I'm holding on. God grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. My name is Dr. Agriculture.
We carry Dr. the same Agriculture, man.
We carry the same surname, but the only difference, as opposed to L-A-N-E, I am L-A-Y-N-E. Corey, let me tell you something.
Correct.
And, you know, I'm a man who keep it real. My back is broad. Nothing much worry me. But in your preamble, you talk about a situation. And you know, before I have given you praise for the work that you have been doing with young people, I don't want to indulge in it really, but I just want to say that continue to be strong. I have been praying for you. I have been praying for the situation. And as you know, when things happen, you're going to get the naysayers, the crackdowns, the critics, whatever you want to call them, because I have been through a lot in this country, and they tried to bury me alive. But you know what? Agriculture is still here and kicking and doing well.
So, for this moment, when I last heard you, you were Mr. I know you're Dr. Agriculture, so you even grow, even expand.
And let me tell you something, all of them things is even make people come at you a little harder. But suffice it to say, be that as it may, we leave that alone. We put it in the Creator's hand. What is to be will be. I will even go on to say, I can remember there was a young man, Corey, that went and had a little training at your farm. And I have been involved in horse racing for well over 25 years. And when I made reference to you in connection with the young man when he won his first race, my phone blew up. I get lambasted. I get cursed because Corey Lair was supposed to be nobody, and he did not come from a particular farm with a particular trainer. I don't have you know. I know that you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not going to call
him. Don't worry.
No,
don't worry with anything.
Either. I know you understand what I am saying. And I was lambasted because that this particular young man won a race and he didn't come from a recognized farm as opposed to Corey Lane's backyard farm. Mm-hmm. But let me do something. Mm-hmm. I'm a ghetto man. I come from humble beginnings and I will always respect people. Respect is not earned, Corey, but it is given. It is given. And a lot of people want respect, but want to dish out stupidity and ignorance and disrespect to people and expect that all could be well and good when they operate on those kind of nasty levels. And they leave that alone. I want to go on to speak about the Prime Minister of this country. And if you would allow me.
Go ahead, please.
You are a man who have been working in helping poor people, in helping the most vulnerable. This is a COVID environment. And I want to speak about those care packages that have been given out. It has been done wonderful, Corey. I don't know if you were following it, but before, in the planning of those care packages were supposed to go to the 30 constituency offices across this country. And I have to say that a lot of thought and homework was gone. And then it was said, do not let the constituency offices deal with those care packages. And I am glad to see that the Prime Minister of this country, corporate Barbados, farmers, and everybody who made a contribution, people were able to take their goods that were their agriculture people, Corey, that had a lot of goods because you know that the vendors cannot work. And they were able to take their produce and got paid on a timely basis and at least get a little something to help with life. But I also want to say that I am so glad. As a Barbados Labour Party stalwart, Corey, you know, I don't hide it, because we will get people for you and against you. But when I see a Prime Minister who, and you know, and the passion that she has for the most vulnerable, Corey, you understand how it is for suffering people. People have been suffering in this country before COVID. And you would understand that all the little savings people have not worked now. Some people have not drawn a salary for over a year, Corey. The national insurance is liquor. It is down there. It's catastrophic because the unemployment rate in this country went to a high where we have never, ever, ever seen unemployment before. True or false?
It's true.
Right.
Right or
right. So what I am saying, even in terms of this Honourable Prime Minister, Mayor Martley, going and sourcing a vaccine which may not rule out COVID, but it may keep your body in a way, or put it in a position, I'm not a medical person, but it may keep your body in a way or put your body in a position that will fight off a COVID attack. And even people are using social media and going out and talking all kind of stupidity about this woman who is working extremely hard to keep a country afloat. She's not a doctor.
That will happen, you know.
She does not work in things. A medical fraternity, Corey, but she has to listen to people that are qualified in medicine before she makes an addition. And I know her personally, because I know her personally, sure enough. She is a woman, an individual, a wonderful prime minister that listens. She listens, because when I know you had direct dealing with her, she listens to everybody. And you know what I also admire about her? You don't want the encyclopedia. You don't have to go into the encyclopedia to understand. Make sure you do a press conference to understand nothing that the woman say. A two-year-old child can understand every single thing that the Honorable...
I want to underscore something that you're saying and highlight for people who don't, to this day, don't understand my problem with partisan politics, right? Now, right. In partisan politics, it is almost impossible, if not very impossible, for people to separate a leader at the national level from a leader as a politician and a partisan person. Because if I want to speak to about the prime minister, I want to say something, taking things out of school, speaking to her, if it is possible, people, older mentors of mine will have to tell me if it is possible to speak about the prime minister at a national level as opposed to a political level. At a national level, as a leader, as a manager, as an operational director, this is one of the things I can say I admire. When it comes to the poor and the poverty and the programs, it is not politics. It is said directly, no politics, no MPs, exactly. No this, make sure it gets to the vote. I could tell people that as something I've seen with my eyes and heard with my ears. So yeah, for me, what partisan politics does, it does not allow those on the other side or those that are perpetually opposed, because there are people who live in opposition, you know. No matter what party is in, they're going to attack. That is just their stance. Their stance is to oppose. But it doesn't allow the actual partisan political person to appreciate or support many times. A few of them do on very few occasions. But that's my beef really with partisan politics, because with things like COVID, where's life and death, where you need that separation, you don't get it. And on other very, very, very important national issues, you don't get the support that you need. There are many times that you need the support, and it happens with all the administrations in all the different countries. So you know, you had the recession and you had all these things and you need support. You don't get the support because to support your enemy is really to attack yourself. Therefore, they don't understand that what you need to do is support your country and you're not supporting your enemy. And that's really my problem with partisan politics. It does not allow for that support when most needed.
Corey, and it cannot be better said the way how you just break it down. And I have a problem. You know, as you say, you're going to get the haters, whatever you want to call them, coming forward to talk stupidity and ignorance, because that's how you can put it out in this kind of environment. Everybody has a right to survive. I hate to see people suffering. Corey, I showing off. I am a man who gives people things left, right, and center because they know that I am in food production, etc. And if they could get a little something to survive off of Corey, and it doesn't take nothing off of me. But you know what hurts me with people? You just saved a man's life, and you just give him something to break air from out his stomach, and then he get one side. To rip you up and tear you up, and you just save his life. And then we can go and talk about Black Lives Matter. What I find with this race, nobody don't do us nothing, you know, Corey. We do our own self. Because if you, as a black man, get $1 million today, and you have to go up on a 6-story building, you got to use a ladder to get up there, and I know you understand where I'm going. When you get on the 6th story, Corey, you kick down the ladder, not knowing that there may be a time that money may run out and you got to come back to ground level. Blackbird can fly high, but they cannot live in the sky. You know why? The wings can get tired and they got to come back to ground level. And all I want...
All right, I can let you come down. We got to move on.
I can bring down the Concorde now. Don't mind stop flying. I got a Concorde here flying. I can bring it down for the Grand Island International Airport now. Smooth. All I want to say to Jean Public, please ease up off the Honorable Prime Minister. She has this country at heart. She has poor people at heart. She is working extremely hard. I don't even feel that she's sleeping. That's the honest truth. But I pray for her because I want to keep her health. And if she take on everything that's going on here, she can dead and go along and left this same country for somebody to run it. So I want to ease up off of she. Not every decision you're not going to be up with, but she is trying and she is passionate about what she's doing. She don't have that. So please let her continue to do a wonderful job, Corey. And I thank you for the time you give me, and God bless you.
God bless you too.